You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
So here's the truth, right? Here is the truth. I'll start it right at the top. We're all prone to, we've got this new series of messages. It's called, what's that?
I got you.
Right. What's this?
It's a donut right there, bud.
Is that a Bill's donut?
That's a Bill's donut, man. Have at it right there.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's all for you.
That's not right.
No.
That is not right.
Go ahead. It's okay. Indulge yourself.
I'm going to indulge myself. A Bill's donut. That's right in the middle of the message. You know, that's. He ate the other half. And then he like carried it with his fingers. Did you see that? Gross. I hope he washed them. Flavor, right. So here's the truth this morning, right? We are all prone to indulge in one behavior or another. Are we not?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? What? Oh.
It's just.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This is not right, right? This is just not right. But here's the truth. The truth is this: is that all of us have we all indulge in some way or another. There's things, excess. There's stuff that we kind of lean into or revert back to that help us find relief, release, or reprieve. Is that not true? Huh? Right. So the way I see it is that a church, and this is what I like about Shelter. Right. You know what's really cool about the Shelter, and I just love and appreciate, is that on Tuesday night we have the Recovery Church. If you've been to Recovery Church, just say right on, man, right on. Good. I'm telling you, Recovery Church on Tuesday night, I was there a couple weeks ago. I can't get there every night because I got stuff after school and just with kids, and I can't get here like I would like to, right? At the same time, when I come in and visit, Recovery Church on Tuesday night is the purest form of church. I would begin to even argue with some of y'all to say that what they experience on Tuesday night is a pure form of church than what we experience here on Sunday morning. It's a beautiful thing. And every time I come, I'm just uplifted and enriched. And because the truth is that we are all in recovery, are we not? And if you say that you're not this morning, you are a big fat liar. I'm in recovery. I'm in recovery. Lord, we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So I thought what we would do this morning is just start out our church service with like a recovery meeting, right? And this is a healthy thing, right? So let me kick off the meeting. Hello, my name is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Thank you. And I struggle with working too much, news and sports, my phone, shoes, shopping for sporting goods, and at times things like Bill's Donuts, right? Right? Seriously, we all have, and there's other things that I struggle with as well that tend to pull me back or tend to take my focus off what God would have for me. And not long back, it was just a couple weeks back, about 3 weeks or so ago, I was in New Orleans. And here's the deal. It was the week leading up to Mardi Gras. So what's interesting about Mardi Gras is what's called Fat Tuesday. You're familiar with Mardi Gras, right? So Fat Tuesday is in Mardi Gras is celebrated the day before Lent, right? Lent starts on Ash Wednesday. Fat Tuesday is on Tuesday, right? And Lent is 40 days leading into Easter. All right. It leads us to a place where, you know, it's nowhere in scripture. It's just a practice that the church has picked up for a very long time. And I think it's I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. 40 days of fasting or 40 days of giving up something, you know, I think the Catholic faith, it talks about giving up red meat. Some of y'all would know that. You come from the Catholic Church and you know, that's why you have fish on Fridays. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But leading it 40 days. It begins Ash Wednesday. Prior to Ash Wednesday is Fat Tuesday. And Fat Tuesday is all about the indulgences. It's all about the excess, right? It's like eating your favorite foods. It's like buying like three dozen Bill's Donuts, right? And it's like, I mean, you know, all your favorite drinks and just your favorite people, and you all come around and celebrate and do this thing called Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras. And man, 3 weeks ago, the weeks leading up to Mardi Gras, it was like Fat Tuesday every day. It's crazy. I made it 3 blocks down Bourbon Street, and I'm like, whoo, I need to head back, man. Just a little excessive. But the truth is this, I'm not passing any judgment on Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras or anything like that, because the truth is us church folk, we have excesses and indulgences in our own lives. And the truth is our Fat Tuesday sometimes is every day of the week. Is it not true? It is very true. And I just think that we need to keep things in perspective. With all of that, we all have something, we all have some things that we consume to the excess. The other night at the Toby Mac concert, woo, give me a whoop whoop. You guys are like in the dark, I can tell. Man, Toby Mac, here's the deal. My wife, she said, we got Toby Mac tickets. And, you know, when I was like, you know, Toby Mac was never my thing, but you know, I don't know, just over the years, I kind of grown to like the dude, you know? Now at 50, I think he's like 52 or 53. He's got me beat. But that dude is cool. He really is cool. And I think deep down inside, I got this inner Toby Mac thing going on, you know? One day it's just going to bust out. But the truth is, we had a great time. We took the kids, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And leading up to the concert, Toby Mac, it's a Christian concert, you know, and I mean, it's really, really, really well done and put on. There was like 4 opening bands, Ryan Stevenson and the Messengers and some other, Jeremy Camp was there, you know, just, you know, it was just really good. And leading up, you know, you got a ton of church people. There's a lot of my wife's Baptist folk. I'm on the air right now. They were all there, you know, it's a good thing. It was all good, and we had a great time. And my kids got on stage. It was really fun. We were laughing. I got pictures if you'd like to see them. Needless to say, going into the concert, this Christian concert, is about 12,000 people going into the Nutter Center. There was this guy, and you guys, some of you all have been around me for a long time. You know that I have this really incredible annoyance with the bullhorn. Guy with the bullhorn. Standing out on the steps. And man, I got to hand it to him. He knew his scripture. He had it memorized. He knew his scripture, and he had, I mean, all King James of him. Do you know what I'm saying? He knew his scripture with that bullhorn, and man, he was laying it out on the step, and the boys looked at me. He's like, Dad, what is going on? And there's a part of me that just wanted to take that bullhorn and just stuff it down his throat, confessing to you guys this morning. But I looked at the situation, the boys asked me what was going on, and I said, you know, here's the truth. He has no idea what he's doing. And what I mean by that is that he has no idea what the gospel message is really about. No idea. And the truth also is that, and I also said to the boys, he doesn't know what he's doing, and I'm glad he's here. And the boys said, why in the world are you glad that he's here? And I said, because this is a bunch of church folk, and I would much rather him be here with church folk than be somewhere else where it ain't church folk and they get a bad idea of what Jesus' message is really about. You with me here today, folks? Right on, Ryan. Right? I mean, I'm serious. So anyways, with all that said, I started thinking about this guy, and the truth is that he struggles with indulgences. Think about it. Here's the truth. This man is consumed. I'm not passing judgment because we all have indulgences. Just hear me out. He's consumed with a different kind of indulgence. He too is trying to fill a void. You know, maybe one day what I can do is, I think it would really be an interesting Sunday morning. We'd probably pack the house if we had a Q&A with the bullhorn guy. Wouldn't that be cool? It'd kind of be cool. Not out of judgment or anything like that. Maybe there's something here that we're missing, and you know what I mean? I think it'd be kind of neat just to do that, Q&A. But Here's the truth. This is what I believe. I could be totally wrong. I don't think his struggle is any different than our struggle, right? I think we all have indulgences. I think we all have something in us that we're trying to fill a void. He's trying to fill a void. He too is indulging in scriptural memorization and unhealthy religious practices because he's trying to fill this God-sized hole in his life. Wouldn't you not agree? We all deal with something, even the bullhorn guy. You and I deal with something. We all deal with something. And here's the truth. The truth is that we are all consumers. Consumers. We all consume. And what if this morning we just took a step back and we asked this question? What if what we are consuming was really consuming us? Because I think that it is. We struggle with our Fat Tuesday indulgences every day. Maybe different than what Mardi Gras looks like, but the truth is we struggle every day with something. And the truth is we find ourselves at times going back to them. Even though they are eating us alive, we keep going back for more. More stuff. Today, I just want to look at that. I want to look at two people in the New Testament. There were two specific people in the New Testament who struggled with indulgences. And these two people that struggled, that what they were consuming was consuming them. It was leaving them emptier. It was leaving them hungrier. It literally starving for this spiritual need that they had within their life. And they had a big fat hole. They had a hole in their heart that only God could fill. And one story is good news. And the other story is bad news. Let's start with the bad news, then I can give you the good news. Is that good? Here's the bad news. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him. And he knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He was hungry. He was unfulfilled. What he was consuming him. The truth is that he was a religious guy. He was no different than you and I. He knew the Ten Commandments. He attended church. He did the right things. I mean, it's going to share with you the right things that he did. Look at verse 18. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. And only God is truly good. Verse 19, "But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal." Jesus is saying this. "You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." Verse 20, the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Do you see this, folks? This guy, he was doing the right things. He was obeying and following the word and doing what he was taught. But yet he was hungry and unfulfilled. And what this man was, the Bible describes him. You see it in scripture. They call him the rich young ruler or the rich man. Okay? He had a lot of wealth. Verse 21, looking at the man, Jesus felt, check this out. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Just a little sidebar this morning. Jesus feels genuine love for you. For you. Even in the midst of you, what you're consuming, even in the midst of your excesses and your indulgences, in the midst of our issues, God looks at us with genuine love. If I had the bullhorn this morning, that's the message I would want people to hear, or Friday night. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He's willing to do anything for you. He loves you in all of your issues. He loves you. He loves you with even with all of the stuff that you've done wrong. He loves you with all of your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups. Jesus loves you. He looks at you with genuine love. I don't think we hear this enough. Jesus loves you. He loves you. And he looks at you just like he looked at this man. He feels genuine love for this man. And he says, there is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Verse 22, it says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many, many possessions. You see, he loved his excesses. He loved his indulgences. He was unwilling to part with those indulgences and follow Jesus. All the while, what he was consuming him. Verse 23, Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? This amazed them. But Jesus said again, dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Look, here's the truth. The truth is you can only enter the kingdom of God by God's grace and by God's genuine love, by God calling you out. And God is asking us to be willing to love what we have, to love what he God has given us less than him. Does that make sense? This man loved his possessions more than the idea of following God. Conversely, there's another story in John chapter 4. Very similar situation. This woman wasn't wealthy, yet this woman had indulgences. Look at John chapter 4, verse 7. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because of his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. And the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have any dealings with the Samaritans. And we could go on about that. And there's a lot of this that we could go on about, but I want to move through this so you hear it. Jesus replied, if you only knew, if you only knew the gift of God, the gift that God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. See, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, in this, it says the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. She was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. It was not common that Jews associated. There was division between the two, right? Showing us that God's love extends beyond our prejudices and our it extends beyond our stereotypes. It extends beyond our divisions. There, with God, there is no wall of hostility. He has genuine love for her just as he had genuine love for the Jewish man. Here, check this out. And she says, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our, and they go through this dialogue, these questions. There's a lot to this. Ancestor Jacob, there's a lot to it. I don't have time to get all of it into it, but look at 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Folks, within every one of us, we have a hunger and a thirst for something more. And the only thing that can quench our thirst and the only thing that can satisfy our spiritually malnourished lives is Jesus and his love. And this woman struggled with that. She's trying to figure it out. She's asking him all these questions. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Folks, she was hungry for something more than what she was consuming. What she was consuming was consuming her. Jesus said to her, go and get your husband. Some of you guys, you've heard this 100 times, and some of us haven't. Every time I read it, I see something different in it. And check this out. Jesus says, go and get your husband. Verse 17, she says this. She says, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. You see her excesses? You see how what she's consuming is consuming her? You see her trying to fill this void in her heart? Wasn't by mistake that Jesus met her at the well. And they go into this long dialogue and back and forth, and they get to verse 25. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the what? The Messiah. What's that mean? He is the hope. He is the messenger. He is the one that came to deliver us from our sins. He's the one to free us from that which consumes us, the stuff that's eating us. Only Jesus can bring us out of that and save us and sanctify us and set us free and take us from where we were to where he wants us to be, where we find fulfillment in him. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Jesus is so weighted down and burdened for this woman. He's so weighted down and burdened. You know, he is burdened for them. That's why he's there. He's burdened for them. He's burdened for the rich young ruler who walked away and said, you know what, I can't do that. I can't give it up. Some of us, we've not come to faith in Jesus Christ because we can't give it up. But yet what we're not giving up, man, it's killing us. Jesus explained in 34 to the woman. This is really cool. Look at 29. Come and see. So the woman, she received it, man. She received it. She took it in. She received of Jesus' love and grace. And then she just like took it in and took off. And she said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come, could he be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the villages to see him. And Jesus started explaining to them how they can find fulfillment. Finding the fulfillment in him and then sharing that message with other people. God help us. He says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Folks, your nourishment, the longing that you have inside you, the thirst that you have, I'm telling you, it comes from faith in Jesus Christ and then taking that faith and sharing it with other people. Man, thank God for Don Fricke Tuesday night. Thank God for Armor X now that meets on Monday night, where these little kids come in here with that room that you church people provided for them and meet in this building and learn like things from Jason. Not it's an anti-bullying kind of thing. It's more than that. It's not a martial arts thing. It's more than that. It's seeing these little kids pray together and come in here and learn that stuff through Armor X and an extension of our children's ministry. Praise God for that. Praise God for our Facebook live stream or the YouTube live stream channel that we have that hundreds of people watch through the week. Thank God for that expression and sharing that message. Folks, when you begin to get on board with this, you can't contain it. You got to go and share it. And when you stop sharing it, you grow cold in and of yourself. And you start back. The further from the fire, the colder you become, right? The further from the fire, the colder you, the further from the table, the hungrier you become. God wants you to partake of his nourishment, to lean in and partake of what he has to offer. and share that, give that back. That's where your fulfillment comes. Look, is what you're consuming consuming you? Are you spiritually thirsty and spiritually malnourished? Are you struggling with a fat Tuesday every day of the week? There was one song that these two people, the lady at the well and that the rich young ruler had in common. There was one song that they could agree on. It's an old song. Many of you know it. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards wrote it. You know what it is? What? Yeah, Todd knows it. Some of y'all act like you don't know it. Some of you young pups don't have any clue what I'm talking about. Mark, what year was that? We're talking, Mark, there's an inside joke I have with Mark. Okay, there you go. I can't get no, right? Satisfaction, right? And I try, and I try, and I try, and I can't get no, right? Right? Seriously. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards would back up what I'm saying here today. How you like that, folks? That makes you church people feel real uncomfortable. You're going to give me an ashtray up here and smoke while I say that, sing that. Just teasing. I don't have that indulgence as an issue or that, you know. And I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying it's something, you know, I got my own issues, you know. Here's the truth, though. The truth is that the Lord is a good, good Father. He looks at you. He loves you. He just wants you to come and taste of him. He wants you to be filled with what he has to offer and stop searching and struggling with the things of this world. Because at the end of the day, the things of this world leave you hungrier. And they eat you. They eat you alive, right? What we consume, it's consuming us, and it will consume us if we let it. In Philippians 2, it says this, it says, Paul writes this in the New Testament. It's a letter to the Philippians. He writes, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now think of this. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 And here's what I believe Jesus wants us all to walk out of here. If you didn't hear anything that I said today, and I know every one of y'all heard, I can't get no satisfaction, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. Besides that, if you did not hear anything that I said today, hear this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's all stand. Father God, we come to you today. And Lord, I got my issues and all my friends here today have theirs. And the truth, God, the truth of the matter is that what we consume has a tendency, Lord, to be in excess. It has a tendency, God, to take us places where we don't need to be. It has a tendency, God, to take our attention away from you. And we begin to look and find relief and reprieve into these things that are not holy. They're less than. And we look to those things more than we look to you, the one who can truly, truly give us what we need. The one that can truly satisfy. With you, God, this morning, help us all to know, with you, Lord, we do get satisfaction. We are fulfilled. There's a prayer on this board. And it just says, Father, help me, fill me, quench my thirst and satisfy my hunger for something more. I confess there are indulgences and things I consume that are not helping me and that they are hurting me. If you pray that with me this morning, let's begin to lean into this message series called Stuffed. And let's start with this prayer this morning, if you would. If you're willing, pray with me. Father, help me. Father, fill me. Father, quench my thirst and satisfy my hunger for something more. I confess there are indulgences and things I consume that are not helping. They are hurting me. Rest in that for a moment. Just rest in that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And in close, at Matthew 5, 6, on the board, on the screen, may this be our prayer and what we walk out of here with this morning. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this would be our testimony. If you want this to be your testimony, read it with me. All King James of it. This is King James, by the way. Read it with me if you would. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Thank you for being here.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.